This is the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're on the air. Do you want to keep going? David Hall, who is the Vice President of Syndication, is with me on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Go ahead, David.
I know I speak for a lot of people when I say that the news of late has been very nerve-wracking. And I would ask you to stop talking about it.
It is the news, though, and it's important.
What I'm trying to tell you is...
Go ahead, tell me.
I'm having a personal problem with it. It's difficult for me to digest it all. And I never thought I'd say this, because I used to be a news director, and I always saw myself as someone who could handle it. But it's getting me very depressed.
Well, I don't know how I can stop talking about it.
I'm asking you to stop. I don't want you to keep talking about it, just as a personal favor. I'm very, very depressed. I mean, everything you're talking about, gas masks, you're talking about...
David, what is wrong?
I don't know.
What's wrong? I mean, you have always been a guy who told me how to go about doing the show.
That just doesn't make sense anymore. I can't handle anything anymore. I've had thoughts, I guess, in recent days. I can't.
What about? What thoughts?
I don't want to allow myself to utter the words. I'm just not dealing with things.
Well, if this is a personal thing about all the news that has been going on, a lot of people are having a hard time dealing with this. Maybe you ought to talk to somebody.
There's nobody I can talk to. It's like I don't feel like living.
All right, David, wait just a minute. You can't talk like that.
I don't want to be dramatic, okay?
You can't talk like that. You cannot say things like, I don't feel like living.
But it's just that recently I've thought about... And please, God forgive me, taking my own life.
You can't go there, man, okay? That's stuff, life, events, everything that happens to us happens. And you know, like my wife likes to say, it is what it is. I mean, every day you get out of bed and you're dealt this hand. Here's the hand we're dealt with. Today's the hand, okay? If you play poker?
Yeah.
This is the hand we got to play with.
For a guy that's, I've made a career in news. I can't even handle hearing the news that's been coming around lately. I've done everything I can with my career. I've built one of the greatest stables of talent in the business.
I can't believe I'm hearing you say this, and you're saying it on the air. I mean, not that I mind, but you've been the guy that has been the guiding light in my career.
I built radio stations. I don't know if I've made any difference. Have I changed anybody's life? I would say the events of September the 11th answer with a resounding no.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now, okay? It's not your fault.
Phil, I'm not doing very well. I guess I want to say goodbye.
Wait a second. You have been good for me. Your input has been good for me. You've been good for my career, okay? Dan, you can't call me up and say, I want to say goodbye. That's overly dramatic. I don't believe that you mean it. I don't want to hear it. You've helped me. You've helped a lot of people.
I haven't done anything.
Yes, you have. David, come here. I want to talk to you for a minute because I can hear you putting the phone down or something.
I haven't done...
Come here, David. Come back to the phone, all right? If you got his alternate line, call his cell line, okay? Because I can hear him. He's still there. Don't call his cell phone. I think he's on the phone. David, come back to the thing, okay? I want you to come back to the phone, all right? All right, that was a shot. I heard a shot. I heard a gunshot. I heard a gunshot. David... Do you hear anybody on the line? Would you please call his alternate line, first of all, and forgive me, ladies and gentlemen. Call his alternate line, all right? And do that right now, yeah, without talking to anybody else. I heard a shot. Make sure... No, wait.
Phil?
David, is that you?
Yeah.
What was that that I heard?
I was only kidding.
What I heard was a gunshot.
But I'm here.
Well, are you all right?
I told you, I'm only kidding. I didn't shoot myself.
Well, what are you doing?
I was kidding. I didn't shoot myself.
Well, you called up in obvious depression, I thought.
I'm fine. I'm not depressed. But you were buying it, weren't you? Phil?
Yes, I was buying it. What did you do?
This show, see, this shows you how to break the tension. The great radio theater that comes from it.
Great radio? You faked a suicide on my show.
That's right. I wanted you to do it. You refused.
Of course I refused that. In the middle of what's going on, for me to fake a suicide would be an extremely bad taste.
Well, you were wrong. This cuts the tension. There's people out there that feel better.
Let's just keep in mind what just happened. You came on my show, said you were depressed, had me believing it.
Yeah, that's right.
And then a gunshot. What was that?
It was a sound effect.
What are you, in the studio or something?
No, I'm at home. I'm in my studio at home. But see what I'm saying? This teaches people how not to take life too seriously.
Well, thank you, Captain Kangaroo.
Hey, look, don't blame me because you're stupid.
Oh, now I'm stupid. What about the people who are scared? You know the frayed nerves that are out there? You said it. There's people out there that might have thought you were killing yourself.
Yeah, but now they know it's a joke. They know now that sometimes what you think is bad stuff is actually light comedy.
Oh, well, it's light comedy now.
You know, you think you're the only guy who writes comedy around here. Well, excuse me, Chris Rock.
You could have scared somebody.
Well, if I scared somebody, they don't know how to laugh at life.
You could have freaked some people out.
Then they don't know how to laugh at life.
Fake a suicide, scare everybody to death, then tell him or her to look at the bright side.
You got to start getting this audience together. They're too serious.
And you were only kidding.
That's right. Give out the phone number and do your show and quit being dramatic.
You were the guy that comes on here.
Give out the phone number. Give out the phone number.
1-800-449-8686.
Whose show is it?
It's the Phil Hendry Show, where my... David Hall, one of my executives on this show, came on, said he was depressed, didn't want to live, gunshot.
Freak out, didn't I?
Yeah, you freaked me out. Yes, you did. Congratulations.
That's what I mean. And now this puts everything into perspective.
What does?
The fact that I faked my own suicide. It puts everything that...
Let me ask you something. I'm very, very serious. How does this put things into perspective?
What it does is it basically says that life can be worse. You think it's bad now. It could have been worse with me blowing my brains out. See? And you were scared. You were about ready to call 911 and everything. How do you feel now?
I feel like a jackass.
Well, you probably sound like a jackass.
So what we did here is we came on my show to make me look like a jackass.
No, I came on the show to break all the tension. Everybody's upset about gas masks and all the stuff that's going on. Lighten up. Talk about some, you know, Jennifer Lopez has got married. Friends, you were talking about Friends the other night.
We're talking about all of that stuff. We're talking about everything. But for you to scare me half to freaking death...
Lighten up, will you?
Yeah, you told me to lighten up. Well, you got a gunshot, sound effects, you're depressed, you don't want to live.
Oh, so now you're going to be pissed.
Yeah, I'm a little bit pissed.
Give out the phone numbers. I want to get some calls up, because I can't talk to you when you're like this.
Oh, you can't talk to me when I'm like this. You come on this program, you crank it.
What do you mean, crank it?
You come on here and tell me there's something that's true and it isn't true.
Give out your phone number.
Hey, I don't need to be reminded, okay?
Then give it out. You gave it out one time.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Do your break.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Daddy, telling me how to do everything. Schaefer, if you had anything to do with this, so help me God. What? 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Tell me how to do it, though.
No, but it's radio theater.
You fake a suicide on the air. I don't know that you call that radio theater or a cruel hoax.
Well, you know something? You can sit and judge, but what I did was more compelling than I heard you talk, anything you talking about.
Like what? Like I was talking...
You were talking about wasps and your barbecue and a lot of baloney. I think you need to understand the difference between getting an audience to listen and keeping them by the radio.
So you come on here, you scare the crap out of me. Do you care about me?
Just take a phone call, Phil, because I've been listening to you getting upset. Take a phone call.
Well, I guess that's what it's all about. Here is Trudy on the Phil Hendry Show. Trudy?
Hi.
Hi.
That is the most unfunny thing I have ever heard in my life. And I don't know what the hell's wrong with that guy.
Unfunny?
I can't. Did you ever put into perspective.
Do
you know anybody that ever committed suicide?
No.
Did anybody that you love ever commit suicide?
Well,
can I tell you how unfunny?
I'm driving in
from work. I had to pull off to the side of the road because my stomach
Look at that.
Was so upset.
See what is wrong with you?
I thought for sure you had done it.
I cut the tension. Of what
you cut the tension. You raised the tension about.
Hey, Trudy, I need for you to turn your turn your radio down, okay?
Oh, I thought I had it all the way
Anybody
down.
These people turn their radio down.
All right. Well, what we're talking about here, this woman experienced the suicide of a friend.
Well, did it sound realistic?
Yeah.
There you go.
I totally believe.
Congratulations, man. It sounded realistic.
I mean, you must have really been trying to, I just can't even imagine.
What I'm trying to do is show you just how bad things can be.
Well, she already knows she had a friend kill herself.
Well, but the rest of the people.
I'm sitting here like a dumbass telling Mike to call your cell phone, trying to get 911 on the phone.
Yeah. I mean, I was like sick to my stomach.
It was a riot.
You are so sick. I don't understand it.
Well, if I'm sick, I'll tell you. If I'm sick, then what's been going on lately is really sick.
Well, welcome to the world. Yeah, it's really sick.
The stuff in New York.
Yeah, that's really, really sick.
That's not sicker than me.
You pulling a hoax and pretending like you committed suicide? No, probably the World Trade Center terror attacks are worse.
That's what I'm saying. You see what I'm saying? Put it into perspective.
Everybody knows those were bad, man. You trying to kill yourself just makes... Never mind.
Yeah, see, you can't explain it because you don't understand the dynamic.
The dynamic? Stephanie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Stephanie.
Hi, this is Stephanie from Salt Lake.
Go ahead, ma'am.
And I go along with what Trudy's saying. That totally... I was so into that guy and felt so bad for him in the beginning. And then when I found out it was just a joke...
Right. It was...
I seriously was shaking and, like, sick to my stomach. And if it affected us that way... How many others are out there?
Well, how did you feel when I said I was kidding, though?
I was pissed. I was ready to wring your neck.
Well, see, but you were.
And
pissed.
It didn't take anything away from what was going on. It made me feel like
Doesn't it give you perspective on how crappy life can be?
No, it doesn't.
I already know how crappy life can be. I don't need you to pull some more crap.
In other words, suppose somebody had called the police. Suppose we had gotten the police to go over to your house to find out if you were okay. Now we got cops wasting their time, and you're just joking around.
Yeah.
You're playing phone games.
Yeah.
I don't know, people who have committed suicide.
I had a... My ex-husband's nephew committed suicide and dealing with that.
How did he do it?
Never mind how he did it.
I'm not going to tell you how he did it.
I'm asking you if it sounded realistic the way I did mine.
No, it was worse than that.
Was he on the phone?
That's disgusting.
Was he on the phone?
That's disgusting.
The gunshot effect that I used.
You know what, though?
Get out of there with the freaking gunshot.
It sounded real. It sounded real to me, and I was waiting to see if they could get you on the phone to make sure it wasn't real.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
She's not paying you a compliment, okay?
Yeah, she thinks it's funny.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
She don't think it's funny.
Don't you think it's funny?
I hung up on her.
Oh, now we see which side of the bread the butter's on. So the minute she starts thinking it's funny, you hang up on her.
I'm hanging up on her. I'm hanging up on her to get to another call. Shirley, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, this is Shirley calling from Jackson, Michigan.
Yes, Shirley. Go ahead.
This is David Hall in Los Angeles.
What was that?
This is David G. Hall in Sherman Oaks, California.
Well, I'm calling from Jackson, Michigan, and I...
Well, I'm in Sherman Oaks, California.
So what?
Well, so what? You're in Jackson, Michigan.
You ought to be put on a rocket and sent out to outer space, and besides that, you ought to be fired for doing such a ridiculous thing on the radio.
Kidding.
You're an absolute idiot.
I'm going to give you a prize if you can guess which caliber this bullet is. Is that a 45 or a...
What are you trying to do?
I don't even want to talk about your bullet.
My bullet? No bullet.
You're stupid.
Ma'am, didn't it cut the tension there in Jackson, Michigan?
Yeah, well, this is the first time I've ever called a radio talk show, and
there
I want
go.
To tell you something else.
You can weigh in.
I listened to Savage on this radio for months and months and months and months, and I'm going to request that he be put back on here.
No, we fired him.
Yeah. Well, you made a mistake.
He stinks.
You made
Wait
another
a second.
Mistake.
Well,
that's
let me
two
tell you.
Mistakes you've made so far.
Now, you've never called a radio show before,
no,
right?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Do you think you could do it again?
Maybe.
All right. 1-800-449-8686.
What do you want me to call that for?
Well, that's the number to Michael Savage. Call that number back. Say that you're Shirley from Jackson, Michigan, and you want to talk to him.
I want to talk to Savage?
Do you want to talk to him?
Where is he?
Hold on for a minute.
What are you doing now?
Hold on.
Mike Savage, hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Is this Savage?
Yes, ma'am.
I want to know why you're not on the radio on 970 in Jackson, Michigan.
Well, I'm not a professional broadcaster, as you probably know. I'm primarily in academia.
Yes.
And I just got so sick to not you, Shirley. You're great, but most of the people that call are so stupid. I go home and weep. I cry.
Well, I can imagine that.
You know what I'm saying, Shirley? But I do appreciate you. I can't stand it any longer.
I just want
Plus,
to know
you know the other problem.
Issue.
The other problem I've got, Shirley. Michael Reagan is a better host than me. He's more talented and he's more entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, I'll tell you
and
what.
And Rush Limbaugh too.
Yeah, I like Rush Limbaugh too.
Yeah. Well, you know the other thing, Shirley, is I got tired of stealing Limbaugh's act.
Stealing what?
Stealing Rush Limbaugh's show. I mean, I'm using all of his material.
No.
Yeah. No, I did. I can't take it anymore, Shirley. Goodbye.
Look at that. You made Michael Savage blow his brains out.
Oh, will you quit fooling around? Debbie, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Debbie, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Hi, Debbie, Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Debbie, Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Hi. Vicky, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Vicky.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
You think that old bag thought that...
Never mind.
That was really Michael Savage?
Whose idea was this?
What?
The suicide trick.
That was my idea. And the reason why I had the idea is I wanted to lighten the mood among the listeners and the public after all this bad news.
So
that
you
doesn't
come
lighten
on...
the mood. It makes the mood heavier. And I want to turn my radio station so I don't have to hear that crap again.
What, a suicide?
Yeah, are you crazy?
How am I crazy? What's more compelling than someone threatening to kill himself? Nothing.
That's
you
not
see,
compelling.
Guy,
it's sad.
A guy ready to jump off of a bridge, what happens? A crowd gathers.
Hey,
why?
I'm
going to
go turn CNN on the TV now because I don't want to hear this crap from you. You're insane.
Well, you should. There's someone blowing their brains out on there right now.
Need to see a psychiatrist.
Greta Van Susteren's going to kill herself.
Okay, that's it. And you do need a psychiatrist, David.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Phil.
Oh, so
that's all I got to say.
In other words, the two of you are qualified psychoanalysts. Is that it?
No, I'm. No,
actually,
I don't have
I might
to be.
Be, but it doesn't matter because
no,
you
I don't have
problems.
To be. You're out of your mind faking a suicide.
Wolf Blitzer just blew his brains out.
Real funny man.
So I hope you get a better producer than that. I got to go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Gotta go. She's got to go and call her shrink. Yellow.
She hung up, as I have to do now, okay? And that woman, that poor woman in Jackson, Michigan, I'd like her to know right now, that was not Michael Savage, okay?
Yes, it was. He blew his brains out.
No, he did not. Even though he did steal Rush Limbaugh's act. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I'm telling you, what was... That's that sound effect again. Phil Hendry Show. Excuse me. There.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Banging drums, singing songs, and waving giant puppets, several thousand anti-war demonstrators marched Sunday to call for peace following the terrorist attacks. Now is when you should question the president, said Scott Morshauser, 37, who came from Bettendorf, Iowa, with a large American flag, its field of stars replaced with a peace symbol. At times of emergency, the decisions made have repercussions 10 or 20 years from now. The peace rally and march had a festive atmosphere with families spreading out picnic blankets in a park and performers leading the crowd in songs with lyrics such as "No More Killing, No More War, No More Violence Anymore." The police presence was muted, unlike Saturday, when scores of officers turned out in riot gear for two separate marches of several thousand demonstrators. Those events were mostly peaceful, but some skirmishes led to several arrests. The city's top two police officials walked ahead of the march Sunday, including Assistant Police Chief Terrence Gaynor, who had been injured at a protest the previous day when someone hit him on the head and he was doused with pepper spray. He said he may have accidentally been sprayed by his own officers. A lone counter-demonstrator drew angry words from protesters as he walked in front of the march with a sign comparing the anti-war demonstrators with Osama bin Laden, the government's prime suspect. During the march through residential neighborhoods, the protesters chanted "Peace Now," and some held American flags upside down, denouncing war. "We're here to honor and mourn the victims of the violent attacks," said Maria Ramos, coordinator of the Washington Peace Center, which helped organize the march, calling a criminal act an act of war gives it too much dignity. And I read about this, and I thought back. First of all, I thought back to the time during the Vietnam War when this kind of stuff was, this is Girl Scout stuff, pardon me. And I thought back when there were really violent clashes and there was some really serious police rioting and there was some serious, you know, counter-demonstrations and the war in Vietnam and everything that inspired and the burning of flags. And I was a resistor to the Vietnam War. I was on my way to Canada. Fortunately for me, though, my lottery number was high enough. I didn't get drafted. And I was against the Vietnam War, as I am today, and as I will be until the day I die. It was a wrong war for us to be involved in. It was a terrible sacrifice of American lives. And in those days, we used to sit around and say the following, a variation on the following thing. I'm not going over to Southeast Asia to fight some war for some corrupt dictatorship in South Vietnam. When they attack America, that's when I'll put on a uniform. We used to say the same thing. Now, there were some guys that I knew who were conscientious objectors, and they got their CO status, and they would not fight in any war. And I never really bothered to ask them what that meant. But I respected their opinion as to violence in general. And then the Gulf War came along and said the same thing, basically. I'm not going over under the pretext of, in the pretense of fighting for, you know, the democracy of Kuwait. But in point of fact, what we're really talking about here is saving oil. Well, guess what? Now it's here. The war has come home. I read this story and I felt sorry for these people. Because remember what I was saying last week and the week before and the week before about assuming a humanitarian posture to hide your fear, assuming a posture of being nonviolent because you don't want to show people the truth about yourself, which is that you are just flat scared. And you want to return to those days of yore when we could spread picnic blankets and talk about no more violence, no more war. It sounds like this stuff is like people want to get back to Vietnam Revisited or something, you know. No more war. I mean, it's the same thing, you know. A whole bunch of meaningless chants. These guys have no idea what this means. During Vietnam, they had some sense that we did not need to conduct American foreign policy at the point of a bayonet anymore. That there had to be a better way for us to exert influence internationally than just sending troops. There was a real meaning behind no more war. What are you going to say to a bunch of misguided poor souls walking the streets of Washington, just poor befuddled idiots, who are saying things like no more war? Why don't you go and tell this cat bin Laden that, man? What are you telling us for? Who are you talking to? Where is it here? At times of emergency, decisions made have repercussions 10 or 20 years. Now is when you should question the president. Well, that's true. I agree. We have to be sure that we make the right move. But that's got nothing to do with completely eliminating the option of violence. We're here to mourn the victims of the violent attacks. Calling a criminal act an act of war gives it too much dignity. What are you talking about? So does that mean we don't go and get the bad people, or you don't want to see us go and get the bad people with soldiers? We should go with police? It's a criminal act, so it's more like a police action we should be conducting against bin Laden? And a criminal act, calling it an act of war, therefore gives it too much dignity. So therefore what? Like if they hit us with poison gas, then what? We should send cops or soldiers then? How about if they killed you and your kids? What do we call it then? Do we go get them? Do we kill people when we try to get them? Do we get them in a nonviolent way? Do we get them in a peaceful way? Do we pat them on the head and pat them on the ass and say, we'd like to have a dialogue with you? And is that how we do it? You guys that are talking anti-war now, I bought it during the Gulf War. I bought it during Vietnam. I could buy it during Grenada and Haiti and Somalia and a lot of other things. But you cats that are talking anti-war now, you're cowards. You're cowards. You're cowards. That's all it is. It's cowardice. Because it's your own country, your own people that got slaughtered, and you want to roll out some old, shop-worn, 30-year-old Vietnam-era slogans. That's over. Those days are over. Pumping an American flag with a peace symbol on it, man, that's 1968. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with what happened to us on September the 11th. So when I was like 19 or 18 years old and I said to my friend, well, they ever have a war here in America, then I'd be happy to sign up. I'll fight for my country then. I'll fight for my neighborhood then. Well, the day has arrived. Unfortunately, I'm a little too old. They ain't taking guys 49 these days. If they would, I'd go. There's got to be something I can do. How about shut up, Phil? Okay, I'll do that. You know what, Phil? You can shut your mouth for your country. But that day has arrived, and it isn't time. There's no room anymore for a lot of shop-worn, tarnished, old hat, yip-yap, and falderall, and claptrap about, you know, no more war, man, and peace, and no more killing, no more war, no more violence anymore. Okay, great. I agree. I don't believe in any of that. We won't do it ever again. Now, what happens if those other guys over there, those cats that bin Laden dude and his friends, what if they're doing violence? Do we still say, why don't you go over there and tell those guys? We didn't do it, man. They did it. Do you understand? Are you nuts? You have to be naive, or you have to be scared. And I opt for that answer. You are scared. You're scared. Being scared isn't very manly. Being frightened isn't very womanly. So you cloak it in a demeanor of being anti-war. No, you're not. You're just frightened. You're pee in your pants frightened. There's nothing wrong with that. So am I. I'm scared of what the future may hold. I'm afraid of what might happen. But I recognize that part of the solution will involve violence. We will have to visit violence on somebody. Even if that means holding a gun to their head and saying, get into the helicopter, we are now taking you to justice in the United States. That's a violent act, isn't it? And what if they resist? Would you say, well, because I'm not violent, I'll just have to let you go and you can run back off into the desert. You are a wanted man. There's a criminal indictment out for you by Interpol, the United Nations, the United States. But you know what? Since I don't want to be violent, I'll just let you run back into your hole because I don't believe in violence. Here's Jim on the Phil Henry Show. Jim?
Phil, how are you?
Hi, good.
Hey, good. I was just listening to your, you know, sort of bagging on those peace people and so forth, and I kind of understand where you're coming from. It seems a little outdated and so forth to be rallying around and saying peace and peace and let's not go to war. But I don't
outdated.
Know.
It's not so much outdated as it doesn't. There's no sense behind any of it.
Well, what do we do though? It's you start blowing up things in Afghanistan and what kind of progress?
Well, have we done that yet?
No, we haven't.
All right. Well, then why don't you? You know, are you assuming all violence is out? Is that it?
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, I'm very much up in the air, wondering what the heck we should do.
What we should do is I like what President Bush has done so far in trying to strangle off the money. I wish they would have done it sooner. You know, if they got 30 bank accounts in America that they're freezing assets in, you think they could have done this 3 years ago when they did the embassy bombing?
I would agree with you completely.
The fact that we have special forces in operations in Afghanistan right now, so they're establishing a base of operation in Afghanistan to begin to supply the Northern Alliance rebels to topple a regime that was supporting these guys. So that's part of what the president's plan was, to hurt the people that were sheltering and giving comfort to terrorists.
Yeah.
Now, as far as getting this guy Bin Laden, if you can't get the guy, you can get his money, you can get his supplies, you can get his lieutenants, you can get the government that sponsors him. In other words, you kind of shoot all the way around him and leave him standing there with nothing. I like that approach.
Well, and I think we've done a good job of rallying the world around our...
I don't necessarily agree that a full-scale military assault is a smart thing, but not because... It's not because it's violent, because it doesn't make any sense. It's not the way to go about solving this problem. And I also agree, making a few Afghanis cold and hungry isn't going to, you know, get us this guy Bin Laden or any of his other people. This crap that went on in Washington this past weekend is just fear.
Yeah.
And fear is not very becoming. And so people need to come up with some other
reason. And I think we can't sit around worrying about, if we go in and attack them, well, then what are they going to do to us then? Because that's a horrible place to be.
Hey, you want to know what they're going to do to us? Nothing.
No.
These people live with words. The Taliban today said that we don't have the courage to attack, and we're this and we're that. These are like children taunting in a schoolyard.
Exactly right. Bullies.
And so screw them. That's what I say.
Very good.
All right, thanks. Bye. Here's my solution. Screw them. This whole thing with the Taliban today, they said, you don't have the courage to attack. Oh, come on, man. Do I look like I was born? I might have been born at night. It wasn't last night. What do you want me to do now? Get pissed at that and start sailing the missiles in there so you can get the jihad going? You know, what is that? And the idea that they may retaliate? Well, okay. Yeah, they may. You're absolutely right. They may. That's what a war is. So in other words, because they may retaliate, then we better not do anything. Just suck it up, bury 6,000 people, rebuild the World Trade Center, plead with Mr. Bin Laden that he not do it again because, we're really nice people and we're really sorry for whatever we did to piss him off, and just hope it doesn't happen. It ain't going to happen, man. Get your head out of the sand. The answer? You want the answer? The answer is get out of that Middle East, get out of that oil. I'm changing my thinking 180 degrees on everything having to do with oil and oil exploration in some of the regions of our country where it may be. There are ways, there are scientific and technological ways to explore for that oil where you don't have to go in and raise thousands of acres of forest, where you don't have to go in and destroy the ecosystem and all the owls and all the birds. I love birds and I love owls and I love our environment. And I think that the worst crime you could commit, among many, but one of the worst crimes you could commit, is the rape, the pillaging, the absolute destruction of our ecosystem. And I don't propose that we do that, and I don't think we are doing that. But you want to know what a worse crime is? Sitting here like a bunch of fat asses, sucking down that oil over there like it's a milkshake, and involving ourselves disingenuously, hypocritically, with every double standard known to man, with a bunch of governments that we would never have anything to do with if we didn't need their freaking oil. God, we ought to get out of there. We ought to get our own juice going now. Right now, everybody, get out, start digging in your backyard and find some of that stuff. Every backyard, every place in America where we can suck some oil, let's do it. Let's help the Canadians. Hey, don't the Canadians have a lot of oil? Start pulling some of that juice in from Canada. If it's in Alaska, it's in Canada. The only reason why we deal with these people, the only reason why we're even over there is because of that. That's going to kill us, man, if anything. That's going to kill us, that addiction to that juice. And I haven't heard anybody say anything lately about, I heard Bush say it during the campaign and following the campaign. And I dismissed it because I believed we didn't need to do that. Because I thought we fought that Gulf War. So we'd have a plentiful supply of oil. And so far, yeah, OPEC is holding down the price. They're keeping the production high. That's so long as we play ball. Saudi Arabia has said they won't let our troops on their soil now. You want to know why? Because they're afraid. They're afraid of Bin and all of his pals, Osama Laden, Osama B. Laden. And the Iranians are telling us where to go. And the Pakistanis are telling us where to shove it, and Iraq is telling us what's up and what ain't, and Uzbekistan and Kakistan and Sukkistan and all these joints that you wouldn't give 5 cents for on any good day in your life. Who the hell ever heard of half of these joints? We got to sit there and play ball with these guys. Why is that? We need bin Laden. Why do we got to deal with bin Laden? Because he got pissed off that our troops were over there. Why were our troops over there? Kick them out of Kuwait. Why are we kicking them out of Kuwait? Because Iraq invaded. And why do we give a crap? Because we got oil down there that we didn't want anybody to get. That's why we give a crap. You want to get to the heart of the problem? Let's get some juice going here in America. Some of that black gold, some of that Texas tea. Where's freaking Jed Clampett when you need him? He was shooting at some food one morning, and up through the ground came a bubbling crude. And what do we got? We're over there pumping it out of the Kuwaiti desert. Holy God. And as a result, here we are. Here's where we find ourselves at the dawn of the century. One thing for sure, I will not, maybe not live to see it. I hope I do, but I probably won't. And I don't even know if our kids will live to see it. But by the end of this century, America will be a self-sufficient energy producing country. There's no doubt in my mind, and I just hope we don't have to pay too many big-time dues to see that through. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, here's Craig. Craig, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, Phil, I think that you're being just a little bit simplistic with your angle as far as the only reason we were in liberating Kuwait was because of oil. I was part of the ground troops that originally went in there to liberate, and you know, when we came rolling in with tanks, there were female body parts that the Iraqis had hung from telephone poles, and they had let all of the animals out of the zoo and butchered lions and tigers, and we were the only you know, civilized people in the world strong enough to go over and do anything about it. And granted, there was a lot of oil there, and it was in our best interest, but. You know, I think in a lot of cases, America is just the only civilized group left on the earth that can go in and do anything when the
there are a lot of places around. There were a lot of places around the world at that time, 1991, early 1991, where people were getting their body parts hung from trees. There were a lot of places around the world where innocent people were being butchered up. We chose Kuwait for a reason. The reason is we had special American interest there, and the special American interest there was oil. And I, with all due respect to your service to our country, and I salute you, and I'm very happy for you and proud of you, because you were a soldier there doesn't necessarily mean that you have a better understanding of the geopolitical forces at work there. We went to Kuwait.
No, I wouldn't claim to.
We went to Kuwait because we had a specific interest in Kuwait, and that was that they were providing at least one part of a larger puzzle of energy for this country. I mean, there's no doubt that in the rest of the world, you could go around the world and find places where atrocity after atrocity was being committed. The United States went to Kuwait, yes, because it was invaded by Iraq. But because we did have that Carter Doctrine, which was American interest. And I'm just telling you right now, we wouldn't be dealing with any of this crap right now if we weren't buying their lousy, stinking oil. And I don't get much mileage per gallon.